Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday. You are listening to At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, the host of the show, and I just want to thank you so much for spending this Sunday with us. We are going to have an interesting show today. excuse me, I've got sort of a frog in my voice there. We've got a wonderful lady who's going to be stopping by. She is an author. Her name is Kathy Rubin. And Kathy is going to be joining us because she wrote a very interesting book, and it's called The Real Alice in Wonderland. Now, most of you know that Alice in Wonderland, the movie, has been sort of back in the forefront. Tim Burton did a movie, so it's sort of been a lot of buzz around the movie. So Kathy is going to be joining us, and she's going to be talking about her book that is out there on the market right now. I'm pretty sure you can pick it up at Barnes & Noble's, but she'll let us know and also let us know other places as well that you can pick up her book. So I'm just so excited to be able to talk to her and basically, you know, just hear why is it that she decided also with her daughter to research this topic and to write a book about it. I'm sure some of it has to do with her fascination and love for Alice in Wonderland. So I do think that the wonderful Kathy is on the line with us, so we'll go ahead and see if she's there. Hi, Kathy, are you there?
I am here, Victoria. Hi.
Hey, darling, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I so appreciate it. So first of all, tell my listeners just a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself. Well, I live in New York City. I'm a mom with two kids. I first came to the United States, wow, is it 19 years ago? And New York has been my home for 19 years. Before that, I guess you would call me a world traveler. I was born in South America, grew up in the Middle East and Africa and different parts of Europe. But there must be something about New York, because I haven't left New York for a long, long time.
Yeah, it is something about New York. In fact, it's funny because my sister was there, I want to say, maybe a couple of months ago, and she and I were born and raised in Washington, D.C., so every time she goes to New York, Kathy, and she comes back, she always says to me, I don't understand how people can live in that city. It never, ever stops. 24 hours a day.
It's a love-hate kind of thing. I remember when I first came here interviewing for a job, and the first day I came up, I mean, just everything went wrong. Everybody, I mean, I must have met all the, you know, all the rudest people you could possibly meet in New York in the space of 24 hours. And I went home, and then I got the job. And, you know, when I came back and actually settled here and lived here, I fell in love with New York. And then I think September 11th, I hate to bring that up, but that was a time in our, you know, in our history that brought us all together. And I think, up, you know, from that time onwards, I have felt this great love for New York City.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Of all the cities that I've lived in the world.
And speaking of 9/11, since you did bring it up, were you there in the city the day that it happened?
Yes, I was. I was. It was terrible. It was basically my kids were on going to a school in Riverdale, and you know they shut all the bridges down after the planes hit the first plane hit the World Tower, and you couldn't get out of the city. So you know there was no way to communicate with them. And then I just remember, you know, walking towards, you know, the, you know, I live on the Upper East Side, but you could still see, wherever you were in the city, you were so aware that something just incredibly awful had happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean, one of my most powerful memories from that day was people walking uptown from downtown. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of people holding hands, crying, trying to reach out to their loved ones on phones as everybody sort of started, you know, moving from the area where the destruction had been caused back uptown. And then in the days that followed, lots of candle vigils and people coming together. You know, so you can live in New York and not know anyone, you know, in all the years that you live here. But that was a time when we were all very close and very aware
together.
Of who our neighbors were and very aware that we needed each other, you know, deeply.
Yeah, I remember that day. I was anchoring the morning newscast, and I had just gotten off from doing what we call a cut-in in between Good Morning America. And then it happened, and of course, at that time, for something like that, the networks will take over all of the, you know, local television stations.
Sure.
And I just remember because at that time I was working on Maryland's Eastern Shore, and my whole family is in D.C., and of course the thing with the Pentagon.
Yes.
And I just remember rushing to my phone trying to call my family to make sure they were okay. But, you know, obviously, like me and thousands of other people, nobody could get through on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I just had, you know, I just remember, you know, being a journalist myself and just sitting in the newsroom and you're watching those pictures, just had this, you know, like somebody had just shot me in my stomach. Yeah.
We were all.
But in any event, you really didn't come on to talk about that. Since you mentioned it and you were there that day, I always, when people, you know, I find out, whatever, in casual conversation or folks being on my show, I just always like to pay tribute to that and just get your perspective. So thank you so much for that. Now let's talk about the real Alice in Wonderland. Yes. How is it that you decided to come to research and write a book about this topic?
Well, you know, the story really goes back to 2007. Alice in Wonderland was selected for my daughter's book day at school. And I'm related to the real Alice in Wonderland, and I knew it and my kids knew it, but it was never something, you know, other than my grandmother's stories and my great aunt's stories about it, it was never something I had ever really researched. But the time seemed to be right, given that the librarian at my daughter's school wanted us to tell the story behind the story of the real Alice Liddell, who inspired Lewis Carroll to write Alice in Wonderland. And it was one of those things, Victoria, the further we went down the rabbit hole, I hate to put it that way, the more curious we became. Alice Liddell's story is fascinating. Actually, to me, more fascinating than, you know, the fictional Alice in Wonderland. And yet, you know, the other interesting thing about her story is how many parallels there are in her real life story and, you know, the fictional Alice in Wonderland. But that's another topic. We put together a one-hour presentation for Gabriella's school workshop, but we had to do a tremendous amount of editing. There was so much material. You know, I contacted my parents, who contacted the family, and everybody just kept sending us emails and giving us leads to other places we could go to get materials. So after we presented the one-hour presentation to the kids in the high school, you know, and they loved it. You know, I thought a period piece about, you know, a woman who lived in the 19th century, these kids are just not going to be interested.
It's not going to be interesting.
But they loved it. They loved it because it's a riveting story. It's a really, you know, very compelling story. So, you know, people said to us, well, you should really do something with this. But, you know, getting a book published is not easy. It wasn't easy 10 years ago when I published my first book, and it's certainly not easy today. When we heard about Tim Burton's movie, I'm a huge Tim Burton fan, and I knew immediately that, you know, Burton fans were going to, you know, love whatever he did with Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland was going to, you know, create renewed interest in the intellectual property. Subsequently, you know, we felt, well, you know, this is a good time to really, you know, do a book because people will want to know the story behind the story.
Yeah.
So that was really, you know, and then we had about 10 months to get it, you know, finished, edited, and it worked out really, really well. I mean, just because we were given access to so many of the family materials, librarians, museums, so many people were so kind to us in terms of giving us access, you know, to resources that we were able to pull it all together. On a personal note, I want to just say my daughter and I, you know, feel very strongly about really what was our motivation to do this. I mean, obviously, the timing with the Tim Burton film was important, but get into Alice's story, and I hope people will. I hope they'll buy the book and enjoy it as much as we enjoyed, you know, developing the book and writing the book. We strongly connected with Alice as a woman. Alice is, you know, she was a modern woman for the 19th century, but she's a woman who would hold her own today. So that was, you know, on a personal note, you know, that's sort of one of our reasons that, you know, we really felt this is a story we have to tell.
And, you know, something that I am always amazed with about Alice in Wonderland, that, and I think you just mentioned it too, it's one of those stories that, you know, it just stands the test of time. I mean,
yes.
you can read that, and you can find so many parallels, you know, to life today. You can find parallels to your own personal life and just sort of be inspired by it at the same time. So I think, you know, it's one of those books that I'm just always struck with, you know, no matter where I am or no matter what's going on, if somebody brings up the topic of Alice in Wonderland, it sort of immediately, at least for me, takes me right back to a place when I was in elementary school or junior high school and I was sitting there reading the book and sort of, you know, imagining what the rabbit looked like, imagining what the creatures looked like. So, and still to this day, you know, Kathy, it's so funny because it still does the same thing to me.
It still does the same thing. It's still extremely relevant. And, you know, we go back to the origins of how the story was created. I mean, I don't know if people know. I'll just, you know, very, very quickly sort of.
Sure,
Alice
please.
Little lived, was the daughter of the Vice Chancellor of Oxford University in England. And Lewis Carroll, that was his pen name. His name was actually Charles Dodgson, was the math professor at Oxford. And he was also an amateur photographer, and he was hired to take photographs of the little children. That's how he came to meet Alice. He would tell the children these, you know, fantastic stories just to keep them amused and entertained while he took their photographs. And, you know, basically he told Alice, this, he made up the story for Alice July 4th, on July 4th, and she wanted that story written down for her. You know, she absolutely made a connection to the story. Obviously, it was a heroine called Alice, and it's actually the only book that Carol, the only, you know, fairy tale that Carol wrote down. And so in a sense, not only was she the original inspiration, but really, you know, who knows, you know, what else Carol might have written
had she
continued to inspire him. So actually the origin of the story, the fact that a little girl inspired, you know, a grown man to write this story for him. And one of the things I love about when we went back and researched the story, many of the characters in the story, I mean, of course, some people believe, you know, this is fact, and some people believe this is myth, but there's certainly a lot of the Alice's sisters are based on characters in the story. There are places in the story that, you know, that are connected to real places in Oxford today. It was one of those stories that, you know, he really created for her and brought in a lot of the characters that were important in her life and the places that were important in her life. And I think of it very much as a gift, going back to your point, as a gift that he gave to her to sort of help her in her life. That's the way I view this story. Because if you know, in Alice in Wonderland, there are so many obstacles that Alice has to overcome. There are all these silly people, you know, that keep sort of standing in her way, doors that are too that are too small, tables that are too tall, and Alice has to keep figuring out how to get over these obstacles, basically to continue on her journey. And therein is, you know, perfect, you know, parallel to life. The theme of courage is, you know, being able to just keep going, you know, pick yourself up and carry on. It's such a wonderful theme, don't you think, in both the all of our lives and in that story.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, Kathy, I totally agree with you 100%. And you said it way better than what I was saying, but that's exactly what I was trying to say, is that, you know, when you read that book, there are just so many obstacles and things that, you know, that Alice has to go through. But in the end, she always finds a way to figure it out and, you know, come out to be the better person. But I do remember a while back, because what happened was, you know, when we're in school, they sort of, you know, give you in the curriculum and say, this is what you're going to read, and you read it. And I remember reading it the first time, and I was so confused. I was like, well, who's doing what? What's going on here? whatever. And that's when I was, you know, little. So later on in life, I decided to revisit the actual book. And I think it was as a result of, there was maybe a movie or something, or on television, or it had something to do with it, like Tim Burton maybe, and I decided that I wanted to revisit it. So I, you know, got a chance to read it again. But it was interesting to read it this time through the eyes of me being an adult, versus reading it through the eyes
of a child.
Of a child, yeah.
Well, it's a book that you can go back to, you know, time and time again, and that surely is the test of a classic. I mean, in one estimate that I came up, you know, that I found when we were researching the book, is that, you know, people believe over 7 billion people have seen or read it. I mean, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And it's still considered, you know, the most popular children's book of all time.
Is it really?
And you think of the amount of movies and TV movies and feature films and, you know, animated films and, gosh, video games and, you know, it goes on and on and on. And artists. One of the things when we were doing the real Alice in Wonderland that in the book that we wanted to do was we decided, you know, museums and libraries and family members had been so kind to us in terms of providing resources for the book. Alice was an artist. A lot of people don't know this. A very accomplished artist.
I didn't know that.
And, you know, one of the things we wanted to, we wondered was, well, did artists know about Alice Little, the real Alice in Wonderland? So we sort of cast our web. And lo and behold, we got so many emails and so many letters from artists who said, yes, of course I know who Alice Little is. She inspired me when I was in art school. And so in the book, as you know, Victoria, we have basically, you know, we brought many of the international artists who had either been inspired by Alice in Wonderland or by Alice Little, and they allowed us to put their artwork into the book because it, you know, it just shows you the extent of the legacy.
But
it was interesting how many artists really had been inspired, you know, as they were studying art by Alice in Wonderland, by the Alice stories, and by Alice Little. So that was one of the things.
Well, that is certainly a tidbit of information that I'm sure your average person that, you know, that has read the book and know anything about the book know, because I guess, you know, that was something that I never thought about, and I didn't think about that, you know, she was an artist. And, yeah, so that's very cool to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she was very talented. Right. Now, of course, in her day, women stayed in the home, and basically, you know, they were not, you know, she didn't have a career. Although, you know, I consider as the book became more popular, you know, Alice and people found out there was an original inspiration for the story. There was this woman called Alice Little. She was called upon to be, you know, a spokesperson and, you know, very much became a role model for the fictional Alice. And that's one of the other parts of the story that we loved, how she used the platform, the celebrity that the fame of the book gave her to give back to her community and to the world, and she's her humanitarian efforts. We cover that in the book. She was
and you were able to find and you were able to find all of this wonderful information through all of this research that you had done about this. That's just great.
Yeah, it is. It's really incredible how you know, we were very lucky in 2001. Alice had a vast collection of, you know, her own personal collection, her personal effects, her letters, her photographs, the memorabilia that Lewis Carroll had actually sent to her over the years. It was actually put up for auction by the family and sold to different organizations all over the world. But we were fortunate in that we were able to contact a number of these organizations, by the way, many of which are in the United States, which is lovely.
Really?
Well, the Alice story is seen very much as, you know, a British and American story. She came to America, to New York, in 1932 and was honored in front of the world by President Nicholas Murray Butler of Columbia University. And, you know, and the world press, New York Times, when, you know, the newspapers in the media in New York and also, you know, around the world covered the event. You know, she made a speech about Lewis Carroll, about the book, about, you know, asking people, sales from the book. Yeah, it's very interesting. Sales from the book were actually used to raise money for children's hospitals at that point.
Wow.
And she made a speech really asking people to support the efforts. And it was broadcast all over the United States, actually all over North America and different parts of Europe. So that was towards the end of her life. You know, she was 80 years old by this point. So it's much seen as a story that connects the two countries.
Yeah, and it's interesting because what I just thought about was, you know, sort of modern-day celebrities, as you will, you know, who do charity events and who are out there on the speaking circuit, you know, to ask to support for different causes. So,
right.
You know, so even back then, she was sort of what you would consider a modern-day superstar, and she was out there on the circuit.
On the circuit.
Know. Yeah.
Doing her thing. And, you know, it was interesting because that was all during the Depression. So when people really needed hope and really needed inspiration, and here was this little old English lady, you know, the original, the real Alice in Wonderland. In the book, The Real Alice in Wonderland, we actually, you know, show excerpts from some of the fan mail she got from people in Brooklyn and in Ohio and Texas. It's lovely. You know, I never knew you were real. I mean, there's some wonderful, you know, excerpts from some of these letters that we just couldn't resist putting in our book, because it's just a magical story of giving hope to people at a time when, you know, they really, really needed inspiration.
Yeah.
So the theme of inspiration, you know, is strong from, you know, works all the way through to the end of her life, which is wonderful. And, of course, today as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And speaking of your book, can you believe our conversation is almost done? We have about 8 minutes left. I tell people our time goes by so fast. Where can we find your book?
Actually, the book, we've been very, very fortunate, is available in all the, you know, major bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and obviously in all the online places and the independent bookstores. Please support your local independent bookstore. I'm a big supporter of my local independent bookstore. I hope everybody else does. And the, you know, obviously Amazon.com, all the .coms have got it. And we're hoping it will actually be going into schools and libraries for the fall, for September.
Wonderful.
Yes,
that would be wonderful. And speaking of your book in Barnes & Noble, I when I was sending out invitations, you know, through all of my social network and telling everyone that you were going to be on the show today, I needed a picture of you. So I Googled you, and then I hit images, and I saw all of these fabulous pictures of you at Barnes & Noble. So I guess you must have had some book signing and engagement. So you look so cute there, standing in front of your stack with your book. So that was the picture that
I used.
My
cup of coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really exciting moment, you know, to walk around to the book display, and, you know, there was Tim Burton's book, you know, the Alice in Wonderland book, you know, for the movie, and right next to it, The Real Alice in Wonderland by C.M. Reuben and Gabriella Reuben. My daughter and I were just so incredibly proud at that moment. So it's funny you found that picture. Oh, the power of the internet today.
I sure did. Yeah, I sure did. Well, you know how we journalists are. We're going to make sure, or at least I am, that I can find the best of the best, because I really wanted a nice, you know, a nice picture. And when I Googled you, I mean, Kathy, there's so many. There really are a lot of pictures of you, if you don't know, on Google. But I guess because that was one of the more recent events or pictures taken, that one sort of came up first. I want to say it was among the first three or four pictures of images that came up. And as soon as I looked at it, I said, that's exactly the picture that I want. It's perfect. She's standing, and it was pretty clear it was Barnes & Noble. I'm like, and she's so lovely and cute. And she just looks like an author, because that's what she is. And look at all of her books. And it's so funny, because by that time, you and I, you know, hadn't really communicated that much except for trying to get a date for the show. And I was so happy for you. I mean, like, you would have thought that I was standing there with you at that event. I was so happy for you.
Well, that's so kind of you. You know, it's been a long road to bring this book to the American public. It really has. And I just want to tell you that there are so many people in England many people in America I've mentioned that, you know, supported us because they actually own Alice's collection today, but so many people in England that were so kind of rooting for us to finish it and get it out, because they're so proud of the connection they have to the story, the many different towns in England that we visited, Lyndhurst, Oxford, London, where Alice's story takes place, and they're just so proud that it's, you know, it's being sold in stores in America today. So it's very, very special for us. I'm so glad you found that picture. I'll have to go and look for it myself. I didn't even know it was out there.
Yes, actually, I told you all you've got to do is go to the Google search bar and type in your name, and then hit send. and then you'll see the upper left-hand corner, you'll see images and a whole bunch of other stuff, and just click on images, and I assure you there'll be plenty of pictures of you, Miss Kathy, that will...
Oh, okay. I'll have to do that. I honestly don't normally do that, but I will certainly do that after this call.
Yes, you make sure you do that. And speaking of Kathy, I want to thank my very good friend and also your friend, Kathy Silverstein, because that was how I found out about you. She emailed me, and she says, hey, I've got this friend, and she knows she's an author, and she's got this book out, The Real Alice in Wonderland. You've got to get her on the show, Victoria. You're going to love her, and I love her. So I just
wonderful.
Give a shout out
she's
to Kathy.
She's such a great person. Yes.
Isn't
that's
she?
That's wonderful.
Yeah, she is absolutely such a sweetheart. Now, I do have a question. And I also feel kind of bad because we got wrapped up into the conversation, and I just wanted to acknowledge if we had anyone inside our chat room that was listening to the one and only author, Kathy Rubin, of The Real Alice in Wonderland. So thank you guys for joining us in the chat room. But there is a question, Kathy, and this woman wants to know, are you still on book tours? And if so, how can she find out what the cities and locations you will be in?
Well, we're just starting to put together a book tour, actually, for the book. And if you go to my website, www.cmrubin.com, you'll see there's a page, media, events, and that everything will be listed on that website, www.cmrubin.com.
And also, I want to let everyone know that Kathy is also on Facebook, and she's got a page there, so I'm sure that would always also, right, Kathy, be a good place for people
absolutely,
to
connect Facebook,
with you.
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and it's great. What's so great about writing a book with your teenage daughter is they teach you how to use all these new tools. They can't understand that you haven't been using them, the way they're supposed to be used, So it's,
and you know
it's
what's
great.
Funny about that, once you actually get into it and you start doing it, you think, why in the world hadn't I started this earlier?
Hadn't I started this earlier. I will also say one thing about the book, doing the book with a teenager, I hope people feel the way that certainly, schools and libraries and retailers have told us they feel, that our book works on two levels. It's a book that an adult can read, but also a book that really, really appeals to, middle and high schoolers. And I have my daughter to thank for that, Gabriella Rubin, my co-author, because she had very, very, she brought a new perspective to the way that book was created and produced. And she really saw it, she really saw it in terms of what her friends would want to see in a book of this kind.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, two minds were better than one. And, we were hearing it from people who see the book that, this is great because it can work for, young adults of all ages.
Exactly.
So it has a real, it really does work on two levels if you're thinking of, who might be interested in terms of the audience
great.
In a book like this.
I think that is wonderful. Kathy, we only have a couple more seconds left, but I would love it once you guys actually get that scheduled together for your tours. I know you're very, very busy, but I would love it if you can maybe come back on for about 15 or 20 minutes so that we can just kind of go over your schedule and kind of get that information out to our listeners, because I assure you there are a lot of people interested and would love to come out and see you in person. And we'll have to connect via email to make that happen if you would be interested in coming back on.
That would be wonderful. I'd be delighted to come back on. And, we should have that. We're putting that together now. I'm just trying to get through graduation.
Oh, that's
my daughter
okay.
is graduating next week. But as soon as we do that.
Congratulations to
thank
her.
Thank you.
Well, listen,
thank you.
We will get that together. But they're about to kick us off the air right now. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. And we'll make another date. And you'll come back and visit again.
Fantastic.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Victoria.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. It was good talking to you. And I want to thank all of you out there for taking the time to talk with us. I knew you guys would like her again. She is an author. This is another book that she's got out, Kathy Rubin. It's called The Real Alice in Wonderland. So I'm excited that it may be in the school system and at libraries because, like she said, you can actually connect with that book on two different levels. I haven't gotten a copy yet, but I plan to go out to my Barnes & Noble and get a copy. So at least when the next time Kathy comes back on, we can have more of a discussion about the book and maybe some questions and things that I thought was interesting that I would like to ask her and talk to her about as well. So for those of you that took the time to join us, as always, on this Sunday evening on At Home with Victoria, thanks so much, because I'm sure there are a lot of things that you could be doing, but you took the time to be with us on the show. And, of course, I always appreciate it. I'll see all of you next week at the premiere in Old Town Alexandria for Sex in the City with the one and only Jewel Green of Posh Couture. Have a good day.